1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price." I'm sorry, "you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." In the not-so-distant past, I was involved in helping my mom move from a house that I grew up in. After Dad's death, I knew it was only a matter of time that Mom would move. When Mom had made the decision to move, I was excited to get her to Altoona, get her closer in a more secure home and closer to my brother and I. The memories didn't start flooding my memory till the house was empty. I kept thinking about a title of a song, "The House That Built Me." In this song, the singer goes back to her childhood home to get in touch with her past because her life has changed who she was. Someone else was living in that house, but now she wanted to come in and look around and remember who she was so that she could get back to the basics of her life. As I stood in the empty house, I could hear old memories. I could hear the sound of my dad's closet door closing. I could hear the voice of my parents yelling, "Stop running in the house!" I could hear the barking of my dog, Max. I could smell Sunday pot roast. I could remember the way my dad smelled when he came home from work. I remembered the way things used to look. In our dining room, we had an artificial fireplace that hung up on the wall. And throughout the years, as that thing hung there, we all had our pictures by it. I can remember an old green carpet that we had. I can remember the old furniture that we had. Dad bought it from Pigeons. I don't know if any of you remember the furniture store Pigeons, but it was really awesome. Except the legs on the couch always broke. Not exactly sure. I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that I would run, jump over the coffee table, and land into the couch. Outside, I had a worn-out area underneath the old elm tree. That was home plate. I used to play baseball game scenarios in my head. I'd throw up the ball, and I'd hit a home run, and I'd win the game. One time, I hit a foul. I broke two windows with one ball. Not anybody could do that. The only window I ever paid for was Lewis and Pearl Miller's window. I had schemed up the idea of hitting the golf ball with my baseball bat. Well, the golf ball flew up in the air, landed in the street and bounced, hit their sidewalk, and right through their window. Boy, I felt pretty sheepish about that. But what were the chances that that would ever happen? I still, to this day, think about that. How did that happen? But if it was a window and I had a ball, chances are I could break it. I started thinking more and more about the house that built me. The experiences of that old house had a part in shaping who I am today. But more than that, more than the house, it was the family who lived in that old house that produced a portion of my character. Corinthians 3, 9 and 16, chapter 6, 19 through 20, as I read in the beginning, should remind us that we are God's temple. We are God's house. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 11, God tells Paul to tell us that we need to be careful on what foundation we build our house. There is no other foundation than the one that Jesus built for us. Last week, Marty reminded us of the wise and foolish builder. In the book of Matthew and Luke, we find this parable. Like Marty, I want to remind us what the wise man did. The wise man dug down deep to find the foundation, to find the rock in which he would build his house. The man had to do work. This agrees with the previous verse that says, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. The first chapter of James talks about listening and doing. We can't merely just listen, but we have to do what is said. We have to do some work. I want to make sure that we underline, do the work. Put it into practice. It takes work in order to find the foundation to build your house. Wait a minute. I mean, God's house. It takes work to build God's house. Remember 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. You were bought at a price. You are not yours. You who are baptized, you who are not baptized, your body is God's. I'm going to give you a little bit of time because I'm going to be spewing out a bunch of verses. And so if anybody wants to get out a pencil and a piece of paper and write down some of these verses, feel free to do so. After some defining moments in my life, I've had to start doing some work. I've had to start digging to find the foundation in which my house should be built on. Through the last year and a half, maybe more, maybe less, I've been finding verses. Been writing them down on a little 3x5 card. I've been putting them in this little box. The Bible is really big. It's very daunting for me. When I look at it, it's hard to deal with. But I got all these little cards in here that have verses that I can look at. And I can help remind me of where my foundation is built. So this morning I'm going to share with you some verses that I have found that help inspire me. And they are teaching me to build my house, God's house. And I've put these verses into categories. And the first category is how much does God love me? Lamentations 3:22. You don't really think about a whole lot of good stuff coming out of Lamentations, right? But it reads, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. How wonderful is it that we get to wake up every morning to have another opportunity to glorify our Father which is in heaven. God doesn't give us more than we can bear. We're never consumed. It's a wonderful promise from God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become righteous. How much does God love me? He loves me so much. Jesus had no sin, but yet He sends His Son to this earth to teach and to die, so that we might be able to be closer to the righteousness of God. Romans 8:12, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. We just celebrated a memorial service celebrating the fact that Jesus died for our sins, setting us free from death. We would be a miserable people if we had no Christ, if we had no resurrection of Jesus. 2 Peter 3:9, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Our soul is so important to God. He wants every soul to be saved. We should want and desire the same thing with each and every human being, even the people that we don't get along with. We should want their soul to be saved. I'm also reminded in the book of Revelations, the Laodicean church, there wasn't too many things good said about. Well, there was nothing good said about this church. This church was doing it all wrong. But let's read here what God says in verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. No matter how horrible, no matter how rotten, no matter how despicable, your soul is still valuable to God. And that's important for us to always remember. When times are down, times are tough, when we're going through the fiery trials, we need to remember how much God does love us. The second group, I can do all things. Jeremiah 17:8. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. A tree planted by the waters. Are we a tree planted by the waters of God's Word? Are we taking from His Word? And if so, we have no reason to fear the heat. We have no reason to fear the trials. We have no reason to fear these things that get us so upset and frustrated. Because God's going to take care of us. And if we just continue to feed on the Word, the water of God, we will always bear fruit. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. God is known for making the impossible possible. How many times has He done it? What happened to Aaron's rod when it was thrown on the floor in front of the magicians? It's turned into a snake. What happened to the Red Sea? What happened to Jesus? He was resurrected. God makes the possible out of the impossible. This next group is stop grumbling. Grumbling leads to a lot of things. Grumbling leads to quarreling and arguments, fights. It leads to bad thoughts. So there's some verses in here that maybe don't quite say grumbling, but think about what grumbling can lead to. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. 2 Timothy 2:14, be kind to everyone, be able to teach, not to be resentful. Proverbs 17:8, this is a new one I found this week, and I really like it a lot. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. That was Proverbs 17 and 8. Oh, I had 8. I have my own verse wrong. Thank you. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. To break a dam, when you break a dam, what happens? A flood of destruction comes down the river. So when you're starting a fight, think about what's going to happen. Think about the destruction that is going to happen. Proverbs 16:29. A perverse man stirs up dissension. A gossip separates close friends. The next group is servitude. As I think about things that make me happy, I'm always happiest when I'm serving someone. When I go to the hospital or the nursing home to visit someone, I'm always the happiest after I've had that visit with them, knowing that I did a good work, knowing that I helped cheer someone up, that now they realize I'm important. When we serve, we do a lot of good. And we also help ourselves. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Titus 3:8. Devote yourselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. 1 Corinthians 10:24. This one's tough. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Romans 13:9-10. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you should not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Control. Control is my next. Proverbs 14:16-17. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. That's a hard one for me, but I have to remember All things are possible through Him who gives me strength. God makes the impossible possible, right? So I'll get there. It's just going to take a little longer. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. Thinking on Peter and the time that he spent watching the crucifixion from afar, you can really look at the words that he has here for advice, to be self-controlled. What was controlling Peter at those times? Maybe his heart was controlling him. Fear was controlling him. He wasn't being controlled under the right thing. He wasn't letting God control him. Galatians 5:22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The next category is don't follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? How many times when we follow our heart do we wind up in a mess? We need to always make sure that we are firmly placed on the rock, that we got our decisions are guided by God's words, like that tree. The next category is fiery trials make us better. 1 Corinthians 3:13. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. The trial and temptation and how you handle it shows the quality of your work. 1 Peter 4:12-14. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and God rest on you. I want you to kind of put that in your memory banks, because we're going to go over another verse here that helps that verse out. Hebrews 12:10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good that we may share in His holiness. This verse reminds me of when I was in high school and played basketball. And there was a kid that I played basketball with, and the coach was always riding him. Come on, Craig, you can do it. Come on, Craig. And Craig would go into the locker room just frustrated. Why is the coach always picking on me? I hate it. He's always riding me. I said to Craig, you're lucky he's riding you. He sees that he can help you. The coach really doesn't pay attention to me. He knows I have no talent. And isn't that the way God is? He rides us. He disciplines us. He doesn't spare the rod. Because He knows what we're made of. We just need to figure it out. He wants us to have a godly character. Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our sufferings have no comparison to heaven. And on the flip side, our sufferings have no comparison to what hell will be like. So don't you think maybe you can suffer through a couple of painful things? Don't you think maybe you can bite your tongue a couple of times? James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. My next category is the importance of forgiveness. This is another thing I struggle with, and I don't think I'm uncommon. Colossians 3:12. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. This is the other verse that I wanted to, you want you guys to remember with painful trials. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Luke 23:24. Think about the power of forgiveness that Jesus showed us on the cross. Before the cross. Think about Peter watching Jesus as he's being mocked, scourged, beaten, a crown of thorns put on his head, having to bear his own cross. Are any of our fiery trials like that? But Jesus was able to forgive them. Why is it so hard for me to forgive when people do bad and nasty things to me? First Peter 2:23, they hurled their insults at him. He did not retaliate when he suffered. He made not threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. 1 Peter 3:8-9, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. My last category. The words we choose are important. The words we choose are important. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words are sweet. They're healing. They lift people up. I think a lot about Paul and Barnabas. The way Barnabas was called the great encourager. My imagination, his words were like honeycomb. He knew what to say. And if he didn't know what to say, he kept his mouth closed. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others, according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. Our words are important. And John Mark knew that. Because Paul and him were having a problem. Paul thought he was too young, too inexperienced. But Barnabas took him under his wing. And look at the man that he became. Because of some good words. Matthew 12:34. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what kind of a person you are? Listen to the words that you say. These verses are a good start to building a foundation built on our Savior Jesus Christ. Each one of us who has been baptized needs to always remember we are God's building. And in order to have a house that will not be blown over by the storm or not to be consumed by the fire, we must build on the steady rock. If it had not been for these verses and the storms that my house has endured, I wonder where I'd be. These words are very precious to me, because as I was going through the storm, I was searching out these words, and they helped me. I am God's house, and you are too, whether you are baptized or not. Romans chapter 1 tells us that we are all called, but it's up to us to choose. And when we do choose the calling, we need to commit to building our house on Christ's foundation. In closing, I want to remind you of Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Daily, we need to seek a brother or a sister out. And the reason is because sin lies to us. I take my eyes off the prize quite frequently, and I have to get myself put back on the goal. My guess is you guys lose the goal too. And it would be good to have a brother or a sister to encourage you, to exhort you, to help you, so that your heart doesn't become hard like Pharaoh's. How many brethren have fallen to the fact that their heart was hardened by sin? It takes a long time to soften a heart. Sometimes it takes death. My brother's, Mike's heart was softened when he saw my dad lay in a casket. He almost fell over. Sometimes a heart cannot be softened because we have allowed sin to harden our heart. We lose members. God loses souls because of the lies that sin tells us and makes our heart believe. God invites you to start building on His foundation as we stand and sing the invitation song.